happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Congratulations, California. You kept your pro-gay governor. I'm Andy Hom. This is Gay USA.
I'm Ann Northrup, also celebrating. And that is our top headline today, I guess. California retaining their pro-LGBTQ governor. And we are celebrating and breathing a sigh of relief.
Right. And the fired president of the Human Rights Campaign is now charging his former board with racial bias.
Black, gay, religious, and AIDS activist Archbishop Carl Bean has died at the age of 77. He was known for all of that and for writing and performing a Motown anthem, I Was Born This Way.
Well, actually, he didn't write it, but he covered it and made it popular. But more on that later.
True, my mistake.
Huh? Okay. Episcopal Bishop John Shelby Spong, who was a leader in LGBTQ liberation in his church, has died at 90.
We're going to talk a little more about the legacy of the late actor Michael K. Williams, who, as we keep counting, we now realize played four gay roles in TV and movies.
Carl Nassib?
Is that your phone?
Yeah, I'm turning it off.
Okay.
Carl Nassib, of the Las Vegas Raiders, made his debut as the first out player in the NFL regular season, and he made a big play.
Yeah, we'll tell you all about that. President Biden is being urged to help LGBTQ refugees from Afghanistan.
Lil Nas X is a big winner at the Video Music Awards.
And the annual Met Gala has returned, the Metropolitan Museum Costume Institute Gala in New York, and had a ton of LGBTQ stars on the red carpet, some of whose fascinating pictures we will show you.
It's almost as gay as Halloween, and it's very much like it.
More so every year.
More on two films of LGBTQ interest, Divine Love from Brazil and Little Girl from France, that Anne is going to tell us about.
But we gave him a little short shrift last week because we ran out of time, but we will go into a little more depth on them because they're opening this week.
So it was a blowout win for Gavin Newsom. It is a great relief. The right-winger Larry Elder led the pack of 46, but a lot of people just didn't even vote for the down there for a pick among the 46. He got less than half the votes that Newsom did. It's a repudiation of Trump and Trumpism. Caitlyn Jenner, if you were curious, got 1.2% of the vote and is bitter.
Hey, explain that more. Bitter. Why is Caitlyn Jenner bitter, or what is she saying about being bitter?
Just bitter at the voters. Now, Gavin Newsom made his last campaign appearance in Long Beach with President Biden, but also with the city's out gay mayor, Robert Garcia, who was reelected to a second term in 2018 with 80% of the vote. And by the way, they're already looking to get rid of that recall law in California.
Well, Gavin Newsom has certainly been our friend consistently all along. He has made some tone-deaf missteps in his governorship along the way, but we support him. And here are a couple of things that California is doing that are indicative of what he can do for us and has done for us, because he signed all the pro-LGBTQ legislation along the way. The California Assembly has just passed a repeal of the loitering with intent to engage in prostitution law. This is a change that happened in New York recently, too. It's basically the law is an excuse to just round up trans people on the street. So California is now moving to repeal it. The assembly has passed that. I'm sure the rest of the legislature will, and he and Governor Newsom will sign it. And there's also another bill making its way through the legislature, and that is the, wait a minute, I have it here. It has passed the whole legislature, civil penalties for stealthing. Stealthing is when men remove the condoms they are wearing during sex without letting their partners know, whether their partners are male or female. And it turns out in surveys that 10% of men admit to doing this. It's just unbelievable to me. So the legislature has passed a bill that will make available civil penalties for this so that the partners can sue for the bad acts of their partners who've removed the condoms. It's not about jail. It's about civil penalties. I find this so incredibly reprehensible. This is about men who want their female partners to get pregnant. It's about men who want their male partners to, be vulnerable to HIV or just...
Well, you sure need a law like that in Texas now because, you know, women are inadvertently getting pregnant and can't get abortions. And I'm happy to see the Justice Department suing over that. I read the article in the Washington Post about the horrific things that women are going through to get out of state. You're subjected to a sonogram, and then they tell you, your past 6 weeks, we can't do anything for you.
And right.
People absolutely hyperventilate, have all kinds of health issues, and then have to get in a car and go for 15 hours to get out of the state. And pretty soon they won't even be able to do that when all these other states pass this thing.
And I suspect that some of those women who do not follow the news, in spite of all the headlines, are shocked to find out that when they are more than 6 weeks pregnant, they are not allowed to have an abortion in Texas.
Well, which is very surprised. I was happy to see a federal judge has struck down Governor Ron DeSantis's law criminalizing protest. It's an ACLU case. The judge in the case, Walker, wrote, if this court does not enjoin the statute's enforcement, the lawless actions of a few rogue individuals could effectively criminalize the protected speech of hundreds, if not thousands, of law-abiding Floridians who happen to be participating in a demonstration where it becomes a little rowdy.
We're headed down a very bad path in this country and so many places.
And please, can we not, you know, be praising George W. Bush? All the stations, including MSNBC, ran his statement condemning domestic terrorism. Don't forget, and division. He ran on division when he got reelected by trying to institute a constitutional amendment against same-sex marriage. And, of course, the war he started is what gave us Trump.
It's amazing how these people change in retrospect and yet at the time are incapable of seeing the error of their ways, even though we're all yelling at them not to do it.
Well, at least they took Robert E. Lee down in Richmond.
Well, that talk about retrospect. That's a very long reach.
I've read a lot more about him lately and what a awful, you know, monster he was.
Well, you know, I remember reading some book about him and his horse, Traveler, when I was a child and thinking, oh, this is so romantic.
Ken Burns romanticized him in the Civil War documentary.
Yeah.
And he sounded like a great guy. He would capture black soldiers and kill them in the war.
Well, no one is romanticizing Alphonso David, who is still in the midst of this back and forth between the board of directors of the Human Rights Campaign and himself. He went on MSNBC this last weekend in an interview with Jonathan Capehart, longtime out gay journalist, to say that the board is acting in racist ways against him, that they never would have done this to any of the previous white leaders. And I have to say, you know, aside from the merits of the case and whether or not he should have been fired, I can't help but agree that he has been ousted in a way that some of the previous occupants of that job were not.
Well, about the Andrew Cuomo scandal, this week you had the entire board of the Time's Up group resigning over the over their leadership getting involved with Andrew Cuomo. So, you know, look, and that's also a group that was founded to help women who have been subjected to sexual harassment and wasn't doing such a great job of supporting a lot of them, especially if they were at the bottom of the economic ladder.
Well, this is why we need to be extremely skeptical of these institutional efforts that become basically job creation events and are not necessarily doing the work they need to do. Look, today in Congress, as we're taping, they're having a hearing on the female gymnasts who were sexually abused by Dr. Nassar, and they were totally ignored by the FBI when they tried to complain, and it was only because they stood up and did something about it that this was finally revealed and addressed. You just cannot count on institutions to do the right thing, I will say with a sweeping statement.
And when are we going to get the investigation public hearing about the Ohio State wrestlers who were abused there under the watchful eye of, who's this guy?
Jim Jordan.
Jim Jordan, as we say, G-Y-N. All right. And by the way, please don't get involved with Andrew Yang and his third party movement. Oh. Split the election. I mean, he is such an awful, just he's your 15 minutes are over.
All right. But we move on to actually a good story from San Francisco, where Megan Rohrer, a trans bishop, has just been installed by the Evangelical Lutheran Church. I think we've talked about Megan having been elected a bishop, but has now been installed, will oversee 200 congregations of the church in Northern California and Nevada, was previously a police chaplain, a pastor for homeless people and LGBT, is married and has two children.
She said, my call is to be up to the same messy, loving things I was up to before. This is a big denomination. It has 3.3 million members.
On the other end of the religious spectrum, the New York Times is adding a new opinion columnist, Tish Harrison Warren, a priest in the Anglican Church in North America, which is so right-wing, it makes Amy Comey Barrett look like a progressive. Tish brags about the fact that she is submissive to bishops' authority. She is rabidly anti-LGBT, but she's been brought on by the New York Times as an opinion columnist to provide balance in the pages of the Times.
Let's get the Nazi view of Passover.
I'm sure that will be next.
That's what David Rothenberg always used to say about ridiculous. You know, staying in New York, we told you about the death of a trans detainee, Leilene Polanco, on Rikers Island a couple of years ago. It was supposed to lead to reform about solitary confinement and a lot of other reforms. Well, now they're exposing all these horrific conditions at Rikers, and the government is prompted to respond. Tish James is threatening an investigation, but it's, we just abandon these people out there and they die. 10 deaths this year. I mean, yes.
When politicians went to tour the facility last week, there was an attempted suicide of a prisoner right in front of them.
Okay. Well, is everything up to date in Kansas City now? What's going on in Missouri with that?
Well, the fight is continuing over the removal of the LGBTQ history exhibit at the Capitol in Missouri. Isn't that Springfield?
Yes. Missouri, Jefferson City, isn't it?
Jefferson City, whatever. But it's not Kansas City is my only point.
But the Kansas City gay group put this together, I think.
Yeah. And the Democrats are saying that the governor, the Republican governor, lied about his statement that the exhibit had not received any approval before it was put up. And they have the goods to show that, in fact, it was approved. And the removal of it is completely against the law, viewpoint censorship, and just another move by right-wing Republicans to cancel us.
Right.
So they're continuing to fight that.
Okay, the Aetna insurance company is being sued for requiring gay couples to pay out more out of pocket for fertility treatments than non-gay couples. So the New York State Department of Financial Services said in February that Aetna had broken state law, but nothing has been done about it. So
again, institutions, they can say anything they want, but they're not getting anything done.
But better late than never, a federal court has ordered southeastern Oklahoma State to reinstate trans professor Rachel Tudor, who was fired in 2011 for offending the religious beliefs of an administrator who didn't like that she was trans. Now she'll get tenure. She'd be the first tenured Native American professor in the English department's history. She started there in 2004, transitioned in 2007, won a suit in 2017, got $1 million. The judge reduced that. But this week, the court said you can get your old job back.
Yeah, the university had wanted her not to get her job back. And the judge said, wait a minute, that is only an incentive for these places to fire people, even if they lose a lawsuit, because they get rid of the professor. And the university had said, well, you know, there's too much dissension here. There's too much bad feeling. We can't have her come back. And the judge said, look, unless this is really egregious and they're at knife point or something, you've got to give her job back, because you have to show that she was in the right all along and that she has a right to that job. You cannot profit off your own misdeeds. And so that is a great result. And back to Missouri in St. Louis at Neosha Junior High School, a new teacher there, a theater speech and theater teacher, John Wallace, 22 years old, put up a rainbow flag in his classroom and said, everyone is welcome here. And the kids asked, well, why are you showing this rainbow flag? And he said, because I'm gay. Well, some of the parents freaked out and said, you are not allowed to talk about it or teach it. He quit. And because there is no non-discrimination law in Missouri that includes sexual orientation and gender.
Well, there is the Bostock decision, which ought to protect him in that situation.
Well, that is why he has complained to the U.S. Department of Education Office of Civil Rights, currently run by Suzanne Goldberg, former Lambda attorney and Columbia professor. We'll see whether Suzanne can actually institutionally get him his job back on a good basis.
Shall we talk about some of the people we've lost?
Yes.
Most prominently, I think it's Archbishop Carl Bean. He was a gay and AIDS activist, 77, he has died, and a Motown artist who did do the cover of I Was Born This Way back in 1977, and it became a big gay anthem. Declaring himself happy, carefree, and gay, I was born this way. It got to number 15 on the Billboard's dance chart. It inspired Lady Gaga, who released her hit album, Born This Way, based on it. It wasn't the exact cover, 4 decades later, which she acknowledges. She thanked him for decades of relentless love, bravery, and reason to sing. But he founded this church, the Unity Fellowship Church Movement, which now has like 17 locations worldwide. He founded the Minority AIDS Project in 1985. Just a true leader and a great pioneer.
He recognized a need for both a religious institution and HIV care for the black population that was not being adequately served in either arena. Right. So the Minority AIDS Project in 85 provides prevention, care, and treatment for low-income black and Latinx people. And the church founded in 82 is a thriving institution in places all over the world.
There's one out in Brooklyn, too.
And as you saw from the picture, his autobiography is also called I Was Born This Way. And there's a documentary in the works about him.
The gay avant-garde playwright, Jean-Claude Vanatelli, has died at 85 on September the 9th. He was best known for his 1966 anti-war play America Hurrah, a trilogy that played off-Broadway here and at the Royal Court in London and grew out of La Mama, the Experimental Theater Club, and Joe Chaykin's Open Theater. It attacked American consumerism as well as war. He was born in Belgium, but his family fled the Nazis in 1940. Went on to grow up on Long Island and graduated from Harvard in Greenwich Village. He was at Joe Chino's Cafe Chino, the birthplace of gay theater, wrote 30 plays, taught performance in workshops, translated Russian plays. He also, in 1972, did the screenplay for a hardcore gay porn film, which had a highly political plot.
He ended up creating a farm in northwestern Massachusetts, where he ran a lot of meditation workshops, and he was a teacher for many, many, many years. Tony Kushner said he was his only teacher.
Oh, well, interesting.
Yeah. We also note that... wait a minute.
We have the death of Bishop Spong.
Yeah,
let's... Episcopal Bishop John Shelby Spong, once of Newark. He died at 90 in Richmond, Virginia, at St. Paul's, where he'd been a pastor. He ordained the first out gay priest in 1989, J. Robert Williams, and three dozen more by the time he retired. He championed women clergy and LGBT rights. He didn't believe in things like the virgin birth or the physical resurrection of Jesus. He practiced love and acceptance, wrote a lot of books. Great guy, great leader.
One of his books most famously was called Living in Sin, A Bishop Rethinks Human Sexuality. He leaves a wife and three daughters and was just a wonderful, wonderful ally.
And we lost another trans woman to a shooting. We're talking about Desiah Monet, a black transgender woman shot to death, 32 years old, in Chicago on September the 6th, the 36th known violent death of a transgender or non-binary person in this country this year.
In Atlanta, they have arrested Tondre Seals, 17 years old, for entrapping men on Grindr, seducing them, and accusing him of eight gay men and accused him of eight robberies at gunpoint of these men. 17 years old, he's doing this. So please, again, we say this almost every week, be careful with
The recommendation is you're going to meet a stranger. You met them on Grindr. You think they're hot, whatever. Meet them at a bar. Meet them at a neutral place. Make sure they're introduced to someone else, like the bartender or someone like that. These are things that you can do, simple things, to protect your life.
A little more on Michael K. Williams, who died a couple of weeks ago. We told you originally he'd played one or two gay roles. Now the count is up to four.
Including the one he's nominated for right now, Lovecraft County.
And Lovecraft County is nominated for an Emmy. The Emmys are this Sunday, so you might want to tune in to the Emmys to see whether Michael K. Williams wins and how he is treated at the Emmys in memoriam. I just love this picture that I came across of him at a Berkeley, California Pride Parade. There he is in the parade. I think he was one of the Grand Marshals.
Right. We told you he had a kid. He never declared himself as gay. He did say that he'd been molested as a child and that left him confused about his sexuality. But his work on The Wire, for instance, taught him it was important to play characters in pain. What a brilliant actor.
Yeah. And by the way, Pride parades and celebrations continue to be canceled this year. San Francisco, Chicago, Atlanta, Austin, Oakland. Everybody's waiting till next year for most of these things.
I was very moved by the U.S. Women's Open Tennis Tournament won by this 18-year-old, Emma Raducanu, 18, after she defeated a 19-year-old, Leyla Fernandez, in straight sets. She actually defeated all her opponents in straight sets, but she was presented the trophy by Billie Jean King, and it was just very moving to see that. She is a daughter of a Chinese, this is not Billie Jean, of course, but the winner. She's a daughter of a Chinese mother and a Romanian father, moved from born in Canada and moved to the UK. It's a fabulous immigrant story.
It is, and so is Leyla Fernandez, the young woman she beat. So it's a real changing of the guard, potentially, a youth movement in tennis, and a thrilling, thrilling U.S. Open. With the two of them in the final. But it's not the only place Billie Jean showed up in the last couple of days. We saw her yesterday here in New York at the ceremonial groundbreaking for the new American LGBTQ plus museum at the New York Historical Society.
On Central Park West and 76th Street, that's Billie Jean and Richard Burns, who's been the chair of the board. They put this together. And then we have another picture of Andre DeShields, who spoke brilliantly, melding the African-American cause, the Black cause, the gay cause. And there's Corey Johnson, who's the Speaker of the Council, who was there with the mayor. They have put up $25 million for this project. They have to build a building. It's going to take time, but it was so that's going to be our big American LGBTQ plus museum.
And there were a lot of old activists and institutional leaders who could be in the museum right now.
I know. I wanted to go around to everybody and say, how did you make LGBTQ history? But I was too tired.
Well, someone making LGBTQ history today is Carl Nassib, who is our, we've been talking about as the first out gay player in the National Football League. And we told you last week that he and the Las Vegas Raiders, formerly the Oakland Raiders, were going to be on Monday Night Football this week to start off the season. So, yes, they were there, and a fan showed up in a shirt with Nassib's name and number on the back, and that was great. He was getting support from the fans. And even Charles Barkley, on a broadcast of the game, there on the lower left, is wearing Nassib's shirt. Charles Barkley has always, always been a supporter of the LGBTQ community. So let me tell you a little about the game. I used to watch a lot of football. I don't anymore. But, you know, the evening was getting late on Monday, and I thought, I wonder what's going on with that game. And I turned it on, and it turned out to be the last 2 minutes of the game.
It's the Baltimore Ravens and the Raiders.
Yes. So the game was tied. Now, the Baltimore Ravens are a top team, expected to have a chance at going to the Super Bowl, big winners for the last few years. The Raiders have done nothing for years. They have really fallen in their confidence. But this was their first regular season game in Las Vegas. The fans were back. Everybody was very enthusiastic. So it's tied with 2 minutes left. This is amazing. So the Raiders have the ball, and the Ravens have the ball. The Baltimore Ravens have the ball. They take a minute and a half of the 2 minutes, go down the field, and score a touchdown. And the Raiders fans are all like, well, you know, what else did we expect with the Baltimore Ravens? But they get the ball back, and in less than half a minute, the Raiders go down the field, score a touchdown, and I'm sorry, they traded field goals, not touchdowns, field goals. But it's tied. It's tied at the end of the game, and they're going to overtime. The Raiders have the ball. They appear to score, but it turns out they didn't quite, but they had the ball on the 1 yard line, and everyone's thinking, oh, they got four chances to score. Well, they don't. In fact, they throw an interception in the end zone. The Ravens have the ball. They're advancing. It looks like the Raiders are dead, and the Ravens are going to win this when all of a sudden, boom, Carl Nassib tackles the quarterback, sacks him, forces a fumble, Raiders recover, score, win the game. Carl Nassib is the hero of the Las Vegas Raiders upsetting the Baltimore Ravens.
Your football commentary is much more illuminating than President Trump's boxing commentary.
Well, if I could get the scoring right at the end of the game. But it was so exciting and so crazy, back and forth and up and down and interception and fumble and scoring in 27 seconds and all of this. It was so emotional. The Raiders coach said, "I lived, I died, I lived, I died. I don't ever want to play a game like that again." But Carl Nassib is hoisted by his teammates on their shoulders. There's hugging, there's kissing, everybody is happy, and the crowd is cheering for him. It was just unbelievable.
Elsewhere in sports news, trans athlete Alana McLaughlin made her pro mixed martial arts debut on September 10th and went on to win her first bout in Miami Gardens, Florida, the second trans woman to compete in pro mixed martial arts competition in the United States, following Fallon Fox.
Well, congratulations to her, and congratulations to Carl Nassib, who says, "I can't wait to get to Pittsburgh for the next game."
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see whether he turns out to continue to be the Raiders' lucky charm.
Okay.
All right. International news.
Yeah, well, you know, six major groups are writing to President Biden and say you've got to do something to reclassify the LGBTQ refugees coming out of Afghanistan, desperately trying to save their lives. And I hope that that will move along. Canada seems to be the only nation that's doing it for gays, the only one. And, of course, when I read, you know, what the Taliban has instituted for women, can attend university, but not with men. They can only have female professors, but if they have a male, if there's only a male, he has to teach from behind a screen so they can't see him.
You know, there are versions of this in a lot of religiously orthodox communities around the world. It's certainly radically horrible there, but it exists in one form or another in a lot of places.
Oh, a correction to last week's story about a man in Madrid who claimed to have been beaten up and somebody carved maracone in his buttocks. This now he's, and there were protests. Now he's saying, "Oh, it was actually a consensual encounter. I was too embarrassed, go home to my boyfriend with this." And that was just ridiculous. Sorry, folks. And please, there's enough horrible stories. We don't need ones that are...
You know, this happens occasionally. I would say once or twice a year we come across a hoax like this. And it's sad upsetting, but it happens, and it happens in all communities across the board. Sure. The activists in Spain said, you know, "We're not happy about this, but we're going to continue to demonstrate because other people are seriously the victims of violence."
Absolutely.
The murder recently of a young gay man in Spain who was just picked off the street by a mob. It keeps happening, and so they're not letting this stop them in their demands for freedom and justice.
Very sad to read that the great stage actor, Shakespearean actor Anthony Scheer, has been diagnosed with a terminal illness. I have a picture of him. That's him on the right with his husband, Gregory Durand, who is the director of the Royal Shakespeare Company. Gregory is stepping down for a time in order to take care of him with this terminal illness. We had him on the show, Anthony, when he did the Broadway show Primo, about Holocaust survivor Primo Levi. I saw him in Falstaff at the History Plays. Just a picture, by the way, is from their wedding.
And other stories of violence in the UK. A 20-year-old man had his friends torture his ex-boyfriend in a very vicious and violent attack. In a small town in France, a gay mayor was grabbed and tied to a tree and beaten and robbed. And also in France, they're now conducting the trial of around the murder of a gay man 2 years ago. The killer stabbed him, beat him with a crowbar, is now claiming demons in his head forced him to do this, and that the guy he killed was too aggressive with him and came on to him, and therefore he had to kill him.
In that English case, the 20-year-old perpetrator was sentenced to 3 years, 8 months in prison, and the 15-year-old girl who was his accomplice was given youth rehabilitation. In Austria, the European Court of Justice ruled it was wrong not to give an Iraqi LGBTQI refugee a second chance in asylum after he revealed he was gay. He had first applied based on his because he had refused to fight in the military. In 2015, he'd been fearful of disclosing his sexuality, and Austria has a history of rejecting gay refugees, so the court stepped in.
Yeah, their history of refusal includes refusing some who they said didn't look gay enough and therefore were not at risk, and others who were too gay, too effeminate. Why that made them ineligible for asylum is a mystery. But Austria is pretty tough.
No, Germany, better. They're compensating 249 persecuted under those Nazi-era criminalization of homosexuality laws. It was decriminalized in 69, but not taken off the books till 94. The government's got out about $1 million in payments so far.
Which doesn't sound like very much for 249. No.
Well, it's token, but they don't even do that here. I mean, in 2000, you know, the parliament expressed regret for the paragraph 175, the anti-gay law, at a time that the U.S. still had 13 anti-sodomy laws on the books.
In Panama, the Supreme Court of Justice is refusing to enforce the mandate for legalizing same-sex marriage from the Inter-American Court of Human Rights. This is a conundrum. The Inter-American Court of Human Rights 2 or 3 years ago mandated that all Central and South American countries had to legalize same-sex marriage. Some have complied, but more have not. And this looks like a long-term fight to get this to happen across Central and South America. On the other hand, we may lose it any minute, so who are we to talk?
We want to celebrate a brave Chinese lesbian, a volleyball athlete, Sun Wenjing, who has come out as lesbian on social media. That's her on the right, I believe, right?
Yep. And her girlfriend on the left.
This photo has gotten 45,000 likes. At least, probably more by now, comes amidst a government crackdown on gay people and gender variant people.
Anyone who comes out in China these days is taking a big risk because the crackdown is severe and relentless. And so she is regarded, both of them, appropriately as being very brave in appearing publicly. And but it is this kind of grassroots refusal to hide that is going to make the difference, as opposed to the institutions of which I'm so skeptical.
Also tough to be out in Turkey. A performance by the Bulgarian LGBT pop folk star Aziz at a festival in Bursa in Turkey had to be canceled after a campaign by Islamists targeting the Roma singer as perverted. It was led by an Islamist newspaper.
Better news from Wales, or partially at least. The church in Wales has voted to allow blessings of same-sex unions, not marriage, but blessings of same-sex unions as a 5-year experiment. Well, the Episcopal Church in England does not allow same-sex marriages.
True. The Anglican, yeah.
Yes. Now, and this vote in the church in Wales was approved by all levels of the church, the bishops, the clergy, and the congregations, the laity, all approved this. So it's definitely a step forward. And once they see that the world does not end, not because of this at least, perhaps they will take the next step.
I am not excusing the Church of England. What they're doing is disgraceful, but they, of course, are the seat of worldwide Anglicanism, and they're always concerned about, you know, the schism in the church over all the outside churches from around the world that will leave when they do that. All right.
By all means, keep the church together in a discriminatory stance.
Please. I'm just telling you why you're not going to see it anytime soon.
And final count, or it seems like the final count from the Paralympics in Tokyo, which followed the main Olympics, 36 out LGBTQ plus participants who won 25 medals. Very wonderful showing at the Paralympics
everywhere.
In Tokyo.
All right, AIDS news. September 18th is National HIV and Aging Day. There was an article in the Annals of Internal Medicine that says early death rates for Americans living with HIV and getting treatment are no longer very different from those who are HIV negative. So get tested and get into treatment and have a normal life, but be gay.
And get your COVID vaccines while you're at it.
Yes, please.
And wear your masks. We're indoors separate, so we're not wearing masks at the moment. But we were wearing them yesterday outdoors.
We were some of the few.
Yes, a lot of people not wearing masks, but they were outdoors and they were all vaccinated. You had to prove you were vaccinated to get into
right.
this event.
You've read about all these right-wing radio hosts dying of COVID. Well, here's another one. Bob Enyart. He spent the early 1990s gleefully reading the names of people who died of AIDS on the air and playing Another One Bites the Dust, and said gay people make him vomit. He's a pastor also. He died of COVID at 62. He told his listeners to boycott the vaccine, increasing their chances of dying of COVID 11 times. He also believed in the death penalty for homosexuality, but it looks like he got it first.
Well, the count, I think, at the moment is five or six mm-hmm. right-wing radio hosts who were vaccine deniers who have now died of COVID. I don't want to celebrate anyone's death, but really, if that's not an object lesson to people, I don't know what is.
Right.
How can their rabid listeners not be taking that lesson?
Okay.
All right, so let us take the lesson of Lil Nas X. The MTV Video Music Awards took place last weekend in New York, and they were quite the celebration of youth, and particularly of, among others, Lil Nas X. Now, here he is on the red carpet. I must say, when I saw this purple number, I was horrified. I thought this was hideous, but it turns out to be Versace, and I think vintage Versace. So that's how he started the evening, with a fairly long-haired wig. He's being interviewed by one of the MTV red carpet hosts, and he asked her, you know, how do you like my beautiful outfit? And her response was something like, well, let's talk about that later. let's just call that controversial. He was not the only LGBTQ event at the VMAs. There was a performance by Normani, who is there in the horizontal position. That is Teyana Taylor in the vertical position. Normani was doing a tribute to a Janet Jackson performance of some years ago, where she did something like this with a man, but Normani did it with a woman, Teyana, who had famously appeared in another dance sequence a couple of years ago.
Was there a wardrobe malfunction?
No. No, the one who was continually worried about a wardrobe malfunction was Lil Nas X, who keeps referring to his SNL problem. But then we had his performance, which was more of Montero and Industry Baby. It was a sort of mashup, but he's there with his dancers. He's in pink. At the end of the performance, they stripped off the pants and were down to sort of sparkly briefs. It was, again, a provocative performance on his part and very popular with the crowd. And then he won the award for Video of the Year. There he is with his moon person. They no longer call it the moon man. They call it the moon person. And he, as he won, accepted the award, he said, "First, I want to say thank you to the Gay Agenda. Let's go, Gay Agenda."
Right.
It was hilarious. And he also, in that performance, in that sort of prison setting, one of the dancers was a manager from the Southern AIDS Coalition who was wearing a black jacket with a number on the back of it, 433-816, which at some point was the number of people living with HIV in the South.
Yeah.
To make the point about black gay men in the South who are, overrepresented in HIV statistics.
Well, Billy Porter introduced Lil Nas X and said, "When I was first coming up in this industry, let me just say the people were not ready for all this black boy joy. But children, it's a new day, and I'm so thankful to have lived long enough to witness it."
It was wonderful. It was really wonderful, and it was wonderful to he brings such joy to this, and that joy is infectious, and he has brought the crowds along with him, and no matter how provocative and wacky he is, everybody just joins in the fun and has a great time, and that's the way to do it.
All right, let's go to the Metropolitan Museum's Costume Institute Gala. The red carpet there, and we just want to show you as many LGBTQ people as we can. Megan, we're just going to show you what they were wearing. Megan Rapinoe.
Well, she's in red, white, and blue. The theme of the red carpet was American independence. So she's playing off that. She's covering up the first word, but it says, "In gay we trust."
And then Elliot Page made the scene in a tux.
With a green carnation, which is a reference to
Oscar Wilde,
who wore a green carnation as a signal of gayness.
And Frank Ocean, I think, had green hair.
Yes.
and
a green doll.
And then Lil Nas X, let's see what he was wearing there. It looks like he's in Star Wars.
Well, this is the middle of his three costumes. First, he had a big cape that covered this. Then he had this. Then this came off to reveal a bodysuit. I think it was all Versace and quite stunning.
And then the multi-Emmy Award winning,
oh my God,
Golden Globe winning Dan Levy of Schitt's Creek. What is going on there? It looks like a butterfly, I think.
No, I think it's two people kissing, but it's very strange. I cannot imagine what prompted him to put this on.
The Tony-nominated Jeremy O. Harris, the playwright of Slave Play, is there in just a big yellow coat. And by the way, the Tonys are coming up, I believe, on September 26th. On CBS for an hour, but also on Paramount Plus, I think it is, before that. So we'll find out who won from 2 years ago.
Well, this is a lot more attractive outfit than Dan Levy's, I have to say.
And then?
Oh, Kristen Stewart, who to me is unrecognizable in this look, she decided to channel Betty Page. I don't know why she chose that as her American independence look, but she did. Now she's about to have her movie on where she plays Princess Diana. The movie is called Spencer, which was Diana's name, Diana Spencer. And that was a huge hit at the Cannes Film Festival, and that's about to come out.
And then trans act. Janet Mock there.
That's writer, cool. Director. There was a very large representation of black trans women. There's Janet Mock, followed by
MJ Rodriguez, who was also nominated for an Emmy Award.
For Pose. Yes. And her co-star in Pose, India Moore, looking stunning in this outfit. I think that really, that's one of my favorites.
And finally, Tom Daley is back from the Olympics and everything else and came to New York and wore a very simple outfit.
There's a little more detail than you can see in this picture. And where is Dustin Lance Black? That's what
Well, he's working on the screenplay for, what is it they're doing? Oh, the Byard Rustin film that the Obamas are producing.
So this is just a snapshot of the LGBTQ people on the red carpet at the Met Gala. There were a lot more, a lot of young ones whose names I barely know. But these were some of the highlights and the range of people who were there. So it was nice to have them all show up.
Well, speaking of range, tell us about the Green Power Ranger coming up.
Well, Izzy Garcia and her, and here pictured with her girlfriend Fern as the Green Power Ranger. This is not her Green Power Ranger armored outfit, but she is being out as a lesbian on the upcoming show. She is Power Ranger Dino Fury in episode 13. It has aired already in France. It is coming here soon. Then I mentioned briefly last week a couple of movies of interest. I want to give them a little more space this week. Divine Love from Brazil, which is now available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Vudu. This is a different take on the evangelical takeover in Brazil, where, you know, Bolsonaro is just destroying us and where the murder rate of trans women is the highest in the world. So this posits a situation a few years hence where an evangelical cult has taken over and cures people of their sins through sexual exercises. It's an extremely compelling movie, very a little strange, a little off, but in a way that is deep and fascinating. The woman at the center of it works in a government registry, and when people come in to register their divorces, she says, well, really, you shouldn't be divorced. You should be fixing your marriage, and you should come with me to this cult church and engage in these sexual practices, and we'll fix you. And it's just wild the way they take them through it. She goes for counseling to a church that is a drive-through church, and I mean she's in her car driving through the church. It's not like an outdoor, you know, McDonald's drive-through. It is driving through the church and consulting the pastor there. It is the whole thing is just quite fascinating, and so I recommend Divine Love. And the other one is Little Girl from France, which is a documentary. And it's a documentary about a young trans child, 7 years old, Sasha, a little trans girl. And we've seen some of this story in other documentaries and films. But this one is set in rural France, and that's what makes it different and valuable for me. Her parents are supportive and trying to help her through these various systems. She's rejected from ballet class. They don't want her in there. Her school, on the other hand, is more accepting and sets it up for her success. It's now playing in theaters in L.A. and New York. It's going to expand to other theaters. And Little Girl is a very interesting and different film.
Let's just hope Texas doesn't get the idea of passing a law against trans girls in ballet.
Well, according to this film, they don't have to because the ballet classes will reject them out of hand.
That all sounds good. We've told you that a musical of Trevor, which was an Academy Award-winning short film about a young chubby kid who's gay, who, you know, tries to take his life, and it's actually kind of upbeat, despite what it sounds like. And they made a musical about it, and with the actor has been cast in it for the October 25th opening. 13-year-old Holden William Hagelberger from Sherland, Texas. He's going to play the Diana Ross-loving gay teen with a crush on a non-gay classmate. It's based on an award-winning short written by Celeste Lacine, directed by Peggy Raske, and produced by her and Randy Stone, who's a buddy of Jodie Foster. And they all got involved in the Trevor Project, which is a national hotline that you can call for teens who are you know, considering taking their lives and would like to be stopped. 2,000 kids were auditioned for this role, and this will be his New York debut.
And then the TV series What We Do in the Shadows is about to start its, what, third season?
Yes.
And it's, I haven't seen this. I don't know if you have. It's about vampires on Staten Island.
But the non-vampire in it is Guillermo, who was played by Harvey Guillen. He's the only human among them. And he gave a big interview in the Times, and he said, look, I'm not waiting for people's permission to be comfortable in my body, in my queerness, in my brownness. I'm okay with you not feeling comfortable with me being proud.
Well, we've always said that we're not looking for tolerance. We're looking for respect.
Yeah.
And so we're not, and of course, as activists, we say we're not looking to be loved. We're looking to change policy or whatever our goal is.
And don't beat us up.
Please. Yeah. Yes, we are asking for that. No violence.
Well, someone who's really out and proud. Do we have time for this?
Only if you hit it right now.
Okay. Everybody's talking about Jamie. Amazon on September 17th. Big hit in London. Let's run the...
Baby, I'm a hit.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Legit.
Would you give a warm welcome for the soon-to-be legendary...
Jamie New.
Me.
Sorry, miss.
Just daydreaming. Pretty. I got something to show you. You gotta swear not to tell anyone.
Tell anyone what?
I want to be a drag queen.
Oh my days. You belong in
the spotlight. So, why do you want to be a drag queen?
Because it's all I ever dream of. And when I close my eyes, it's all I can see.
You just found yourself a mentor.
Yeah, yes, please. I don't know who I am.
You're 16, of course you don't.
Do what you need to do.
Be who you want to be.
I've got the dreams, I've got the stars.
Mom, do you ever wish I were just normal?
No, I'm what's normal anyway.
Stop waiting for permission to be you.
If I don't say it enough... You're the best friend a boy who sometimes wants to be a girl could ever wish for.
Cause I'm gonna be the one. Okay, everyone's talking about Jamie on Amazon. We're done for this week. Rob Shooter as our guest next week.
And I'll look forward to seeing you again next week too, Ann.
You too, Andy.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.